Monica Holley will share some stories between now and the end of this hour. There's a couple we didn't get to, some unique experiences that she's had as a fringe dweller, as a professional fringe dweller. It was her second job. It's the job. It's her give back job. Look at it that way. You know, other people have a job they do in the daytime to make money, and then the other one, kind of an avocation, something that they do because they feel like it's their obligation to the universe. Well, Monica Holley has that. She just does it while she's sleeping. What about you on that? We'll get your questions, comments, and perhaps your confessions as to whether or not you are a fringe dweller, too. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. All right, so we'll get to your comments and questions for Monica Holley here. Before we get out of here, I do want to talk a little bit more about healing in terms of energy healing, which you spoke about earlier, too. And I do find that interesting. First, let's go to the wildcard line. Cheryl is in Orange County on Coast to Coast. Cheryl?
Hi, Monica. Ian, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, go ahead.
I used to be a social worker, and I used to work a lot in convalescent and rehab homes. And I worked at hospice quite a bit, and I would be a witness to people in the dying process. And I did notice that people seemed to be looking at something. They were very distracted. They clearly knew they were evolving into another dimension of some kind. And they were relating. They were already beginning to relate to that place they were going, whereas doctors sometimes thought they were delusional or it was the drugs. But I've even seen it with my own pets, and they weren't on anything. They were just, you know, in fact, we thought my last pet had pancreatitis, and we didn't expect her to die. And she received some antibiotics, and she seemed very distracted, like she knew she was going someplace, and she was looking at something, and her little ears were torquing, like she was trying to pay attention to someone talking to her. And she did pass on the next day.
Interesting. Oh, thank you. Let's get a reaction to that. What do you think about that, Monica?
I agree with what Cheryl is saying. I've witnessed it from myself as well when my grandmother was about to pass away, and she was very, very distracted, like you said. Now, I was in the position where, first of all, I knew my grandmother at a very close emotional level. I actually had visited her very closely before she passed on, and I saw some people standing around her bedside. I was in a position to be able to see them. And I described them to my mother, and my mother then said, oh, that's so-and-so and so-and-so. They've already passed on, and they were very important to your grandmother. And I believe that where people are concerned, that, like you said, when people are accepting of where they're going, there are different emotional states and dimensional rifts and slipstreams. And when we start leaving one, we're in a position where we're open to something else, and we start seeing that in between. From what I understand, animals have always been able to see what's called or referred to as the infrared plane. I have always called it the pink plane since I was little. I had to give it a name. It's where when I see people floating, people who have passed on, people floating about a couple feet off the ground, and it's this in this ethereal kind of pink background. And I've since been told that, oh, that's considered the infrared plane. That's that in between. Cats seem to be very aware of that plane. So even if they're in a healthy state and they're not about to pass on, if they're staring at something, chances are you just never know if what they're actually looking at.
Have you helped pets over?
I've only just recently had a situation where I was adopted by a pet. The pet just claimed me. And what happened was is this pet was very sickly. And there was a number of us in the house, and, you know, and we were just in denial. We were like, every time we were ready to call in the veterinarian to put him to sleep, he just seemed to spring to life. And so we were, well, okay, all right, he seems to be fine. He came to me in a dream, and he sat at the side of my bed, and he actually said, it was time a month ago. It's really time now. And I woke up and I realized I had to tell, you know, the other people involved that this is something we have to deal with. So, yes, in that case, I was in a position to be able to listen.
West of the Rockies, Mike is in San Francisco on Coast to Coast for Monica Holy, fringe dweller on the night shift and afterlife paramedic.
Hi, Ian and Monica. Just to verify what you said, I've had numerous experience with cats that are very similar. And I called to ask you about the show Dead Like Me, where the people in that have crossed over and are drafted as reapers. And you, of course, are on this side of the River Styx or the river fringe and as a crossing guard to hand them off to the other side. Have you ever encountered any reciprocal entities, other side of the bookend, the other bookend, so to speak, maybe? And are there some similarities with that program, Dead Like Me, that are relatable to you?
Unfortunately, I've only seen a handful of the episodes. I'm an absolute TV junkie, and I've only seen a handful of the episodes, and it's been a couple of years, and I'm desperately trying to remember. As far as Grim Reapers, so to speak, in a polite term, I haven't necessarily come across any yet. Not yet, and I say not yet because I know that as soon as I say no, they'll show up the next night. not yet. So far, nothing like that.
I'd be curious to see whether or not they are really all that grim. Maybe they really like their work. Maybe there's nothing grim about it.
You got to say it takes a lot of courage to show up in that job.
Sure.
Description. You know, I mean, everybody's going to hate you right off the bat and dread you. So, I mean, on a light note, just like a fringe dweller is waiting, you know, for somebody or to assist somebody, it's not an easy job. I have not come across a grim reaper in the grim sort of sense.
Have you ever encountered another fringe dweller who felt like you were infringing on their territory?
Never, never. It's always been reciprocal. It's been always a nod of the head and acknowledgement, and it's always complete participation.
First time caller line, Mark is in Lake Tahoe on Coast to Coast for Monica Holy, fringe dweller. Go ahead.
Hello there.
Hello there.
I was curious about a few things, and I hear this term often about the other side or going to another place. Because I clearly remember my last lifetime. I remember what I did between this lifetime and the one before.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I realized is that I'm not really in time as a spirit.
Oh, you know what? You've opened up a wonderful... I agree. Time is nonlinear. And I don't know how many of us are out there from an experiential point of view that get that we are actually living several lifetimes simultaneously. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people that can't necessarily wrap their head around that because they're used to linear time, a train on a track, point A and point B, and just in a straight line. The fact that you've had those experiences is a prime example of how you've had experiences that could probably be in direct contradiction to what you grew up believing.
Okay, let's go to Carrie in Utah, wildcard line on Coast to Coast. Carrie?
Hi, how are you? I just have a question and a comment, if that's possible. I'm wondering, so are there animals on the other side? Do you literally see animals on the other side all the time, or like dogs, cats, horses?
I do see animals on the other side. I believe that if we have an emotional connection with an animal on this side, it's definitely more prominent. I mean, where my pet is concerned, I actually had a dream of him showing up as a horse in a completely healthy state. And I was confused because I said, "You were a cat. What are you doing showing up as a horse?" And he just wanted to put on that packaging, so to speak, and be free in a healthy state. So that was definitely a new, unique experience, but I have seen animals, absolutely.
Awesome. And may I make a comment?
Absolutely.
Okay. When you were speaking, Ian, about the meaning of life, I was just wanting to make a comment on that. I had a really hard, horrific childhood, and I feel in my mind that my hard times that I have had through my life. I can either, you have people that say, oh, my life, this and that, I just hate my life, and they continue to have that bad aura and that bad feeling all the time and they're throughout their life. I feel that what God is, because I do believe in God, what God has put me here to do is to, you know, help other people and say, yes, I've been there and I've done that, and you can get through that just as I have.
Well, I love that idea. I just don't, I sure think that's true, and I hope we can all overcome the worst of the circumstances that we are presented in life. I guess my quibble is on the word destined, or, you know, that's part of somebody's destiny, that they have to have that. And I don't know that that's true. And I realize that that creates an open dispute, and some people will feel very strongly about that. But just to even think about, you know, children that are hit by drunk drivers or that are murdered, I just don't think that it's, if it's true that it was their destiny, then the person that hit them should be less responsible. You know, I mean, if the child didn't die as a result of that person's, you know, causation, if that drunk driver was really just fulfilling that child's destiny, then how dare we hold them totally responsible for that? I think that there's a lot of things out there that aren't our destiny, that paths can go left or right, and we're at crossroads more often than perhaps we even like to admit. It's one of the reasons why some people are less successful. I think it's true that you show somebody who's less successful, and I'll show you somebody who's taken fewer chances. And sometimes that's what it comes down to, is we make trade-offs for security just because we need to. Well, that's fair enough too, but was that really our destiny to do that? I don't know. Anyway, Teresa is in New York City on Coast to Coast for Monica Holy, Fringe Dweller on the Night Shift. Teresa?
Yes, hi. Just a disclaimer, I'm a little run down myself, and it's very hot in New York City here, so I hope I don't wind up sounding like you did the other night.
You sound hot and run down already, so we better get to it right away. Yes, you do.
I am. My kidneys are a little weak, and I guess I should say, if anybody in the audience wants to, as is for good, that I have the help I need.
Good.
That somebody puts their hand out. He's a well-adjusted person. But I'm almost crying, Nina. I want to thank you for saying I don't think people are destined. And the caller that just was on, she sounds pretty healthy. And what is horrific. I mean, I've overcome a lot. If you saw my resume and saw me, you wouldn't think it was the same person. I mean, resume including everything.
I'm sorry.
You know, sometimes on this side, just like on the fringe, we need helpers. You know, I got my, you know, I could have overcome everything, but when you have a health problem in this society.
Right.
I don't know if you can still hear me.
I can. Go ahead.
Anyway, and I'm enjoying Monica, and I'm sure the Coast to Coast listeners will ask wonderful questions. But I just wanted to thank you. I never thought I'd be calling and thanking you, because I thought your personality was so different than mine. But
well,
we
may be different personalities, but we can at least agree on that. And I'm sorry that you're going through what you're going through.
Well,
go ahead, Monica.
Teresa.
But Monica, do you want to say anything to Teresa?
I was going to say that along with my earlier statement of everybody is where they are, is one of the things that I didn't include in that is that every day, every choice we make is free will. I mean, there's this borderline of choice. And like the earlier caller, I think it was Carrie, where she said she chose not to, or she chose to differently, or she chose to embrace joy, whatever it is. Absolutely every day is still a choice, and there's absolutely free will. And Teresa, like you say, that there are times in our life when we need help. Absolutely. But the fact that you ask for help, that's choice, and that is a wonderful thing. And I honestly hope that in whatever way that you need it, whether in your waking or your dream life, that you know, you've got some help coming your way. I by no means want anybody to think out there of this thing that it's everybody deserves to be where they are. It's not about that. If you have two people who, you know, let's say before they so-called make their blueprint, and one says, I want to learn this in life, and the other person says, I'll be the person to offer you that experience, that takes courage on both parts. And so even though we are where we are in our lifetime, every day somebody comes our way that offers either help or another life experience that, I mean, life is a journey. And it, whether it's asking for help or receiving help, it's all good, and it's all part of that journey of life. I don't know if that helps at all, but, you know, that's the best I can do at the moment with the time.
Well, Teresa, I hope you get the help that you need and that there are people out there that will reach back. And thanks for sharing those thoughts. Let me go to Rhonda in Dayton, Ohio, on Coast to Coast for Monica Holy.
Hi. Rhonda? How are you tonight?
Fantastic. We're terrific. Thank you.
I had a dream a few months ago, and it was really strange just because of the way it affected me. I was sleeping. I was in a different house. These two little girls came out and just started playing in front of me. And then I felt something. And when I turned around, there was an older woman sitting next to me. And my immediate reaction was that I was scared. I was really scared. And then she started talking. And she told me about how she lost her children. And it was because of they didn't have money. Times were really bad. She couldn't feed her kids. She watched them die. It was so sad that I had to reach out to her, and I gave her a hug and told her that, you know, you did the best that you could, and you can't hold this guilt on you, and you have to let that go. And there was a moment in that dream where I felt her relief, but when I woke up, I carried, like, this, I was depressed all day and felt so sad all day, almost like it had happened to me. And so I kind of want your take on that dream.
You know, it's so true that there definitely is a lingerance when you wake up, and part of it is processing. What you can do if that experience were to ever happen again, anything like that, upon waking, you tell yourself, all that is not mine, please leave. And it's almost like you've had the residue of the experience, like you said, of her emotions and all the rest of it. And it's, if you don't know that you can shed it, it's a pretty tough thing. I've had very similar experiences where all day you feel so heavy, exhausted, and you can literally feel everything that they were feeling. And that's not an easy thing to go through. But the fact that you helped this woman in the way that you could in your dream state was fantastic. That, you know, that was fabulous. The next time, if something like that were to occur again, ground yourself and just protect yourself a little bit and say, all that is not mine, please leave. And that should help to get rid of some of that experiential residue that may have lingered.
I think we have time for Angelico in Arizona before the bottom of the hour. Angelico?
Hello, Ian, and hello, Monica. Thank
hello.
You. I have a very, very similar experience as you have. From childhood until now, I'm an exhibiting artist in Europe mostly, and I paint, and I didn't realize it for many years, I paint children from another time. Mm-hmm. And when I'm done with the painting, I know who it is, as if they were sitting for me. But I see them spiritually, not in front of me physically. But in the dream state, which I am truly aware is not a dream, but simultaneous dimension, I find myself in all kinds of situations, helping, I mean, children, you know, accidents, wow. overdose, drug.
You're kind of a fringe dweller yourself, then. You're going to want to...
I don't doubt it anymore, but a curious thing is that I'm with politicians, with presidents, like if they're in danger of their lives.
I'm running out of time here, so I'm just going to recommend that you go grab this book now. You can link up to Monica Holy through the website, coasttocoastam.com, and right there, get a copy of the book, and I think you'll see yourself in it. Soon enough, we'll get to more calls coming up from Monica Holy, Fringe Dweller, on the night shift next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Well, lots of calls to get to. Maybe one of those is yours. Grab a line right now. You heard the numbers. If you don't see them handy, always go to the website, too, at coasttocoastam.com. Just, you know, make a note just to dog-ear that page on the internet, and those numbers will always be there for you, too. So look forward to hearing where you're going with Monica Holy coming up in just a second. Are you a fringe dweller? Have you had experiences in your dreams like that, lucid dreaming, imagining that you're being a part of something, or maybe you're fairly convinced you have been, to help somebody get over to the other side, an afterlife paramedic, as it were? Coming up next on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. All right, lots of people want to get through to Monica Holy. We'll pick up where we left off with Cheryl in Elizabeth, New Jersey, on Coast to Coast on a wild card line. Cheryl?
Hello. I wanted to make a comment that I think is really important. You brought it up, and everyone seems to be running with it, Ian. And I do think it's relevant to this topic. It's very popular today there's a new age kind of attitude that if something bad is going on in your life or you have chronic illness, that you chose it. I mean, it can be called predestination, or that you chose what you're supposed to be doing here. And I see the appeal of it because it makes people feel that, you know, if anything bad happens, all they have to do is, you know, apply their will and maybe it'll help that situation. But I find that the people who tend to espouse that theory are people who are physically well, are not in dire straits. And I find that a lot of New Age healers who say, you know, it's your mind also that creates these things, and if you don't get well, it's because you didn't want to, goes along with that whole thing, that as soon as they have the tiniest little, you know, illness, they're in the hospital having everything done. They're not using their minds, you know, to turn these things around. And it's not to say the attitude doesn't matter, but I think that it really, we all need to try to be more objective and not just reach for these little fixes and borrowed knowledge.
Well, let's let Monica get in here. Go ahead, Monica. What'll be your thought on that for Cheryl?
Sure. I don't know if I would. I mean, I agree with you on some parts. Like you said, Ian, it is definitely open to a huge debate. What I'd add to that is, again, everything is a choice. I like one of the phrases that actually Oprah said on TV when she finds herself in a situation and she asks the universe, what is it from this that I'm supposed to learn? And it's not always, you know, the changing of a disease or anything like that. I watched, and I go into it in the book a bit, held my best friend as she was, you know, close to death.
And, going through cancer, right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of shoulda, coulda, woulda, and no, there are times when you can't change something. And it's not necessarily, it's free will, it's what you can do, it's what you choose to do about it. And it's not about what the outcome is. It's what the process and the journey that you go through. And I understand there is the new age, there's, you know, a stereotype with that. I agree. If something is not working alternatively or whatever, it's your choice to
right.
do whatever it takes to find an answer.
Well, I'll jump in and thank you, Cheryl, for your comment. And we probably won't be able to settle this tonight, but I will say I believe this to be true, and it's ironic perhaps that I'm saying this to you, but I believe this. I mean, I in my experience as a hospital chaplain, I spent two rotations as an intern. I really came to believe there were lots of things that we wish we could say because it would make things make more sense. And so I'm actually really reluctant to have those types of solid empirical claims that we write our destiny, or that, you know, we're experiencing the life that we deserve, or anything like that. I really don't think that we can make that such a clear case. I think what may be true for one person may be completely the opposite for somebody else. And I don't know that I can even explain that. I just think that we were reluctant to do it. And one of the reasons why I say that is I learned when I was in the hospital that if you can't say it in the face of somebody who's dying, chances are it's not true. And there's a lot of things that we love to say that just don't make any sense when somebody's actually dying. And that may be what you're hinting at when you talk about when your friend was, you know, dying from cancer. We change a lot, perhaps, of the things that we think when we that we believe to be true when we're faced with that kind of dire reality. Your thought on that?
Well, the theory, the idea that we write a blueprint, it's a framework. Okay, it's like when you go to college and you choose your courses because you think that you want to be a doctor. Halfway through, you realize, you know what, I'm not really cut out for this, and I'm choosing to change that. I view that as the blueprint. The blueprint is the idea of what we'd like to experience. But as we are incarnated and every day of our life, every day is a choice. That's free will, even though it's not that we've pre-written the outcome, because every day is free will. Okay. It's what we do with it. That's
all right.
The experience.
Let's go to Chris in Hillsboro, Oregon, on Coast to Coast for Monica Holy. Chris?
Hi, Ian and Monica. I just wanted to say, Monica, you are the real McCoy, because I've been doing what you've been doing for the last 20 years, and your experience are really similar to mine.
Can you expand on that? What kind of experiences have you had?
The thing about the little girl going into the just poofing out.
Yeah.
I had one old lady wandering in a fog.
Okay.
And I grabbed both of her hands, and I said, you got to pray with me. And the minute we started praying, poof, she was gone.
Oh, then you know the feeling.
I had the nastiest one I ever had, and I seemed to get routed to people who died of drug overdoses.
Interesting.
I don't really dig it, but that's what they give me. And the nastiest one I ever had was a guy who died of AIDS. Mm. And he was mad, and he was ticked at the world.
Yeah.
And when I tried to help him, he actually spat in my face.
Yeah.
And Ian was asking about a hierarchy or superiors.
Right.
I have had superiors. I don't know if you could call them superiors, but the ones who have advised me were actually saints. And one was a saint that I had to look up in the saint encyclopedia because I didn't know who she was.
Right.
She told me her name was Genevieve.
Oh. Okay.
Which is Genevieve of Paris.
And, I like the way you've worded that, advised. I like the way that you've worded that, that you, not necessarily a hierarchy, but that you were advised.
Well,
that's a great description.
Well, what you said about learning on the job, it is. It's all learning on the job. It's so, you just get dumped in there, and you got to figure it all out on your own.
Exactly.
And the saints who I have had contact with, it's like they can't give you. I mean, I don't know how to put this, but they help you as much as they're allowed to help you.
They can't give you the answers.
Right, right. Ian was saying, when you wake up, do you write it down? Hey, once you've learned the lesson over on that side, you don't have to write it down. You don't want to make that same mistake again.
I mean, oh, I like that.
I have gone into hand-to-hand physical combat with
wow.
demons who yep. have tried to stop me from getting to a particular case.
Mm.
And I had to learn all on my own how to defeat these, what would make them back down, how to, when they tried to sneak around and come in from a way where I couldn't see them in a disguise, I had to learn how to figure out when they were in their disguise. And I did that actually by trial and error.
I was going to say trial by fire sounds like exactly the way that you've learned, yeah.
Yeah. That's how I know that what you're saying is all real, because I've experienced this. And later, about the demon thing, I happen to live really close to Mount Angel Abbey, and they have a really great Theological Library, which I was able to go and study in for free because anybody can go and use it. And I actually, in old books, found about dealing with demons what I had learned in the astral state.
Wow.
You know, just verified for me. Also, I was very lucky.
Okay, I got to get Monica in here a little bit. So thanks for those thoughts. But especially because you mentioned demons, dealing with demons. And that wasn't something that I heard in your vocabulary, Monica, when you were talking about it.
Well, she also mentioned angels and things. And you had actually asked earlier as far as religion or structure or hierarchy and all that. I honestly think that a lot of how we perceive things is based on what we're exposed to. Now, as an example, I'm a TV, film, and comic book junkie, so I will actually receive information, you know, per se, in the form of different characters. And that's how it comes to me. So how it shows up in somebody's dream, I think, is based on how best they're going to interpret and be able to understand the message that's being given. So it's sure. It's completely valid for somebody to choose their own vocabulary. I usually don't say demons or anything like that because, unfortunately, in this day and age with movies, you know, you say one word and people, you know, have all these images in their mind from Hollywood, and it's not necessarily like that. But people, I think, understand when I say dark energy. But what she's saying, you know, rings true. It's her experience, and she was able to say that, you know, she can identify and resonate with what I'm saying because she's had the experience. And that's all I've ever been able okay. to say is that it's all from my experience is all I can share.
Jan is in Portland, Oregon, on Coast to Coast for Monica Holy. Jan?
Hi, how are you?
Really good.
Oh, good. Well, I wanted to say that, you know, I'm a lucid dreamer myself, and I did have a dream about helping a teenager over, but my question is how can you tell whether it's, was it a fringe person? if it's really just a dream or if you're really truly helping somebody cross over?
I'd have to say from my own experience that, and already talking about trial by fire, that it's based on if you can recognize the flavor after having a pattern of many experiences. The same way that you can tell the difference, you know, now per se between chocolate and vanilla ice cream because you've tasted it each of those that many times. Over a period of time, you'll be able to recognize for yourself what that looks like. So if you have these dreams, start jotting them down. Start jotting down in a journal your lucid dreams and start becoming the observer of any patterns. And you'll be surprised at what you recognize, and you'll actually be able to tell for yourself how to differentiate them.
Sound good? Let's go ahead and go to Carrie in Corona, California, Coast to Coast for Monica Holy.
Hi. My question has to do with when you were talking about dark energies. I had a kind of similar experience, and I had felt some dark kind of presence as I was going to sleep. And I even said something to my boyfriend, Beau, to protect me or that I felt scared. And then during the night, it was the same type of thing where they kind of came at me and they were choking me and stuff. And as you were talking, you said you need to implement tools before you go to sleep. Can you tell me what those tools are? Because I definitely feel that they feed on fear. And as I'm more afraid, they're able to come in more. So do you have any tips for being able to keep them away?
Absolutely. I mean, I've only got a certain amount of time, and you can always check the website because many people have asked that question, and there's answers on the Ask the Fringe Dweller at the fringedweller.com website. But ground yourself before you go to bed. Set your intentions that you are going to have a good night's sleep and that you're going to be fully protected. Imagine yourself being surrounded by white light and nothing but positive and good energy, whatever that looks like to you, maybe honey seeping over your head and down the rest of your body, but a good white light and protective energy, and ask to be protected. And you said it's they feed on fear, and the hardest thing is to remember that two emotions don't occupy the same space at the same time. If you start to feel the fear, for yourself, find something that will immediately give you joy. Maybe you have a kitten. Maybe you know what it's like to hold a baby. Whatever brings you joy, immediately think of that and replace that thought of fear and that feeling of fear within yourself with a thought of joy. And that will really help dispel and shine a light into the dark areas that are around. And the last thing is create a box of mirrors around yourself. This is a two-way set of mirrors. It's depicted in the painting The Grays, and it goes into detail. It's a two-way mirror. You can see out, but anything that looks at you can only see itself reflected back on it, and none of its dark energy can penetrate the two-way mirror, because only love can pass in and pass out. And that's one of the tools of protection and states of mindfulness that you can put yourself in that will hopefully really help.
When Monica refers to the painting, she's talking about illustrations that are in the book. You can go find all of that at our webpage, coasttocoastam.com, and link up from there. I'm noticing this disproportionate number of callers from the West Coast, Oregon and California, like most of them in a row. Let's get to Chris in Covina, California, on Coast to Coast for Monica Holy. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Monica. I just had a basic question. I just wanted to know how you get yourself into this altered dream state to, you know, get these lucid dreams.
I think people can expand on their current talents, gifts, or skills. Whether you're ever meant to fully experience them is a complete individual thing. But what I liken it to is when you find yourself drifting off to sleep and you're what I call in that limbo state where you can still hear somebody, for example, some kids playing outside or somebody mowing their lawn, and images start coming into your mind. Allow them. It's the art of allowing that is huge. Don't try to dictate or make sense of the images that come to you, because as soon as you try to put a name to them or decipher them, you'll lose the thread of what's going on, and you'll most likely be disappointed or frustrated. The tricky thing is each night, if you do wish to remember your dreams or improve on your lucid dreaming skills, try and stay in that limbo state as long as you can. I'm going to recommend a book that may help. It's called Toltec Dreaming by Ken Eaglefeather. And he goes into great lengths and details on exercises on how to expand on the different states of dreaming. And that will at least be a starting point for you, hopefully.
All right.
Chris.
I think we have time for one last caller. So let us grab a country man or woman. I believe it's Leah in Canada for Monica Holy. Leah, only have about 30 seconds here for you.
Okay, thank you so much. My question or comment, I've been seeing things similar since a child and helped a couple people pass over. However, what I usually get are warnings, and I'm okay with it, but I quite often get the shoot the messenger scenario.
Where, they get mad at you. You're gonna need to continue this conversation because, you know, as you would both say, we're out of time. So, look, I'll just tell you, you got to grab the book, Fringe Dweller on the Night Shift, and maybe link up to Monica Holy somewhere along the line and keep the conversation going that way. Thank you so much. Very interesting, and thank you for being so willing to engage this topic on so many different levels.
Thank you, Ian. You've given me some wonderful, thought-provoking questions. It's been a fabulous time.
You're sweet. Now get to sleep and get to work. You're late. I'll be back Friday for Open Lines in for George. Deus te amat, and I do too.